Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text 23, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Anvikshikya Shoka Moho Dambham Mahat Upasaya Yogantarayan Monena Hinsam Kamad Yanithaya Anvikshikya Shokamohau Dambam Maharupasaya Yogantarayan Monena Himsam Kamad Yati Yanihiyaya Anvikshikya Shokamohau Dambam Maharupasaya Yogantarayan Maunaune Hinsam Kamad Yanihaya. Avikshikya Avikshaya Shokamohau Bhamoharupasaya Agantaraya Monena Nisankamadyanihaya Avikshaya Shokamohau Bhamoharupasaya Ladies, Shaya Shokamohau Dhamba Maharupasaya Yogandaraya Monena Hingsam Kamadyanihaya Hingshikya Shokamohau Vamaharapasaya Yanandaya Yogena Hingsang Kamadyanihaya Anvikshikya Hingsan kama dinihaya anvikshikya. By deliberation upon material and spiritual subject matters. Shoka, lamentation. Mohau. an illusion. Dambham, false pride. Mahat, a Vaishnav. Upasaya, by serving. Yoga Antarayan, obstacles on the path of yoga. Malnena, by silence. Hinsam, envy. Kama Adi, for sense gratification. Anihaya, without endeavor. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By discussing spiritual knowledge, one can conquer lamentation and illusion. By serving a great devotee, one can become prideless. By keeping silent, one can avoid obstacles on the path of mystic yoga. And simply by stopping sense gratification, one can conquer envy. Purport. If one's son has died, one may certainly be affected by lamentation and illusion and cry for the dead son. But one may overcome lamentation and illusion by considering the verses of Bhagavad Gita. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityor dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. As the soul transmigrates, one who has taken birth must give up the present body, and then he must certainly accept another body. This should be no cause for lamentation. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, Dhiryas tatra namuyati, one who is dhira or sober, was learned in philosophy and established in knowledge, cannot be unhappy over the transmigration of the soul. So, the text again. Anvikshikya shokamohau dambam mohad mahad upasaya yogantarayan mahamena hingsankamadya nihaya. By discussing spiritual knowledge, one can conquer lamentation and illusion. By serving a great devotee, one can become prideless. By keeping silent, one can avoid obstacles on the path of mystic yoga. And simply by stopping sense gratification, one can conquer envy. Mong Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskya Dhyade Satarne. This is many formulas given here to solve problems, but the principal problem Prabhupada mentions is, as Krishna at the end of Bhagavad Gita, he asks Arjuna some questions, because after all, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is mainly asking Krishna questions. When Krishna asks a question to Arjuna, it must be quite significant. So basically, he asks Arjuna, did you stay awake during my class? Typical question you'd ask a devotee. Yeah, actually, that's what he asked. He said, Kachide tat shutam parata, twayai kagrena chetasa. Have you not only stayed awake, but have you actually been listening to what I was saying? Eka agrena. With one-pointed attention, were you distracted, trying to figure out who has the best chariot on the battlefield or something like that? Look, he has a 5002 chariot, and I don't have the latest model. I better trade my chariot in before the war takes place. No, he was actually listening. Was he actually listening to Krishna's instructions? Kachit etat sutam parta, twayai kagrena chetasa, kachit agana. And Krishna was going to judge whether or not only if Arjuna could repeat, Krishna could have said, my Arjuna, what was 11:5? You don't know, you're probably asleep, right? No, not only he says, Kachit Agana, has your ignorance, Agana Samoha, and your complete illusion, have they been dispelled? So Krishna was going to judge whether Arjuna was actually listening by whether his illusion and his ignorance were dispelled. We may think we're listening, and we may be trying to listen, but the ultimate listening will result in our ignorance being dispelled. We'll actually see everything properly, everyone and everything in its proper perspective. And our illusion of misidentifying ourselves as the doer and the having some connection with this material body, that will also be dispelled. And Arjuna says, Nashto maha smritihara labva. That not only my nashta moha, my illusion has now been dispelled, but smriti labva, I have actually regained my memory. I remembered who I am again. I'm actually your eternal servant. Nashto maha smritihara labva tat prasada maya chutu cha. And it's all by your mercy. Krishna's mercy is coming in many different ways. Arjuna was fortunate enough to hear directly from Krishna, but that same mercy is available if we hear from those who have heard from Krishna and his representatives. Tat prasada maya chuta stitosmi gata sandeha. And now I'm going to stay here. I've canceled my trip out of here. And I'm going to stay here. Karishe vachanam tava. And I'm actually going to follow what you told me in Bhagavad Gita. I'm actually going to fight in the war and follow your instructions, such as Krishna just didn't tell Arjuna to fight, although that's significant that Arjuna had agreed to fight. He also said, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mama nusmara yujacha mayarpita manobudhira mame vaishatya samsheha. Therefore, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu, whatever the time may be, mama nusmara yujacha, you should keep on fighting, but you should also remember me. So Krishna didn't just excite or incite Arjuna to fight. He also empowered Arjuna so he could do it in Krishna consciousness, because he took away his ignorance and illusion by reciting Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, when Arjuna fought in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it was an act of devotion, of devotional service to Krishna. It wasn't just fighting in the modes of ignorance and passion to gain some kingdom. It was actually transcendental activity. Similarly, even if we overcome lamentation and illusion and become prideless, etc., but the ultimate purpose is to get out of our illusion that we're something other than Krishna's instrument, and our ignorance that we're something other than Krishna's servant. So, of course, we know that in this age it's been made very simple. Krishna, 5,000 years ago, first of all, he said surrender. Well, he said a lot of things before that, too. But he said, Man mana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyam te prati jani priyosi me. Think of me. But it's not going to be very easy just to sit around and think about Krishna. Nor does Krishna want that. So therefore he says, not only think about me, but become my devotee. We have to become devoted to Krishna's mission. And we have to worship Krishna through that mission. And we have to realize that we're actually not going to get any credit ultimately for whatever this body does. The only credit we'll get is that we become an instrument for Krishna. And Krishna will take us or introduce us to our actual identity in the spiritual world. And then Krishna says, just do that. Give up everything else and just follow my instructions. Idam te na napaskaya nabhaktaya kadachana na cha shushushave vacham na cham mam yobhyasuyati. Unfortunately, there are many other people who are not going to take very seriously, even if you repeat this message that Krishna spoke in Bhagavad Gita. Idam te na tapa nabhaktaya. So don't speak to the non-devotees, Krishna says, those who have no interest in becoming a devotee. Don't speak to those who are not austere or envious. But yaidam paramam guyam mad bhakteshva badashati bhakti mayi puram kritva mame vaishatya samshayaha. But Krishna says, for those who are fortunate enough to associate with devotees, speak the message to them, and then you'll become guaranteed a pure devotional service. You'll actually, by speaking the message, in other words, there's actually realization in the message itself. If you speak it and act according to it, then you'll experience it. You'll realize it. And that way, you'll become a dear devotee of myself. Nacha tasmad manusheshu kaschime priyakrita maha bhavita nachame tasmad anyak priyatara ubhuvi. And that in this world, there will never be anyone more dear to me than they. That, in other words, there is nothing else to do in this world if we want to become Krishna conscious, we want to please Krishna, than to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. There's nothing else Krishna is interested in. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he repeated the same thing. He didn't decide 5,000 years have passed or 4,500 years. I don't want to say the old message again. I had to become a little bit more creative. Maybe I'll change it a little bit. No, he gave the same message. Yari deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh amara agai guruhana tari desh. That whoever you meet, you try to help them become Krishna conscious. That's all Krishna comes for in the material world. He doesn't have any other reason, and he expects anyone who's going to become his devotee, anyone who's going to worship him, anyone who's going to surrender to him, that's what they're going to do also. They're not going to do something else. They're going to become involved in trying to help others revive their relation with Krishna also. That is called transcendental knowledge. That's getting out of illusion that I have some other interest in life except for Krishna's interest. That I have something else to do except to become an instrument for Krishna to help others become Krishna conscious. And we have so many opportunities to do that. It's not that only if we go out and distribute books, that's when we're supposed to be helping people become Krishna conscious. Or even when we go out and distribute prasadam of the holy name. No, we're supposed to try and help everyone become Krishna conscious, even the devotees become Krishna conscious. We're supposed to think about how to help the devotees remember Krishna too. Not that, here's a devotee, he already knows about Krishna. Why should I waste his time? That should be the meditation. What can I do to serve this devotee to help inspire them become more patient, more confident, and more enthusiastic in their service to Krishna? Then will we actually engage 24 hours a day in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Then it's possible to get out of our lamentation illusion. Why? Because generally speaking, we're relating to everyone in this material world specifically in terms of what they can do for me and what they may do to me that I may not like. Therefore, we're hankering to utilize people for our own means, and we're lamenting that people don't cooperate the way we think we should. They should. In order to help me in my endeavor for my materialistic plans, gross or subtle, to make this body comfortable or important or safe or whatever else, all centered around serving the material body, either gross or subtly, we see everyone else as more or less an actor, a subordinate actor, playing a subordinate role in the main drama that's going on, where I'm the hero or the heroine, and everyone else is supposed to more or less support my position as the hero or the heroine in this great drama that's going on. And if not, then they become the villain in the play. And of course, the job of the heroine or the villain is to get rid of the villain. Or they become a subordinate actor and they may get, some kind of praise because they've actually supported the hero in the play. One has to get out of that. The actual hero in our drama is Krishna, and everyone is playing a subordinate position in that great drama of spreading Krishna consciousness. And if we take up that mentality, that role, then we'll be able to see everyone else as an object of service to help them become Krishna conscious. And therefore, there's no lamentation or hankering in relation to them. We may hanker to help them become Krishna conscious, or we may lament the fact that they're not Krishna conscious. But after all, that's all transcendental in relation to Krishna. And there's no illusion connected to that. Then, samak sarveshu bhuteshu, we can see everyone on the same spiritual level as Krishna's servant and know what our real mission is. Then we can really begin the real process of bhakti. Brahma, Bhuta, Prasanatma. If one sees everyone equally, then he becomes joyful. There's nothing to hanker and lament about. And then he can begin Mad Bhakti Labhate Param. Then we can begin the actual process of cultivating devotional service. We can perform our services of even spreading the Sankirtan movement within our family, within our friends, within our neighbors, within our society, within the whole world, all on the basis of service to Krishna. And Krishna's reward is that he's happy to see the living entities wake up again and become happy. Krishna is happy just so that he may see others happy. Krishna has no self-interest, and nor does Krishna's servants have any self-interest except to make people happy and get out of their illusion and ignorance, which is making them miserable eternally. Other things are mentioned here, that by serving a great devotee, one can become prideless. So pride is due to illusion. Amaditvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, shanti, arjvam, acharya pasanam saucham stiryam atma vinigraha. So we're proud because we think we're this body, and we think we have the qualities and the assets the body has with it. But actually, we're not the body. Not only we're not the body, but the body was given to us as a punishment for our rebelliousness against Krishna. Therefore, to be proud of a prison suit is not very intelligent. If you're put into a room where people are torturing you and you take pictures of the room and send it to your friends on Facebook, I have the best, they're torturing me in here, but it's really pretty, isn't it? So this is due to illusion and ignorance. One should realize that this material world is simply a schoolhouse so that we can actually realize that we're simply meant for Krishna's pleasure. And there's nothing to be proud about, because it's in the association of the devotees that we can actually be pleasing to Krishna. We learn what to do and how to do things to be pleasing to Krishna. So the devotee always feels that he's simply the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And whatever he can do is all by the mercy of his spiritual master and the other devotees, because by their mercy he's able to render some service to Krishna, and therefore do something which might be pleasing to him and his devotees. And Prabhupada translates in this verse the word hinsa as envy, violence. That real non-violence is to help people become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, one is actually committing violence upon people. Keeping them in the material concept of life is actually putting them into misery. Whatever we may do, give them praise, whatever, and we may give them some material comfort, but if we're keeping them in the bodily concept of life means only misery, and therefore we're keeping them in misery, which is considered to be violent, hinsa. And that's generally due to our envy, although we may not realize it, but in the material world everyone is envious, everyone is trying to be the topmost, and everyone is envious of the fact that they can't be the topmost. Ichcha dvesha samutena dvanva mohena bharata sara bhutani samoha sargeyanti parantapa. That all the living entities, everyone, has been born into ignorance overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. We hanker to become the lords of this world, the controllers, and we hate the fact that we're doing a bad and not a very good job doing it. We want to conquer old age, disease, and death, but we're doing it in ways that are destined to be failures. Only if one realizes the only way of conquering this illusory energy is by surrendering to Krishna and his instructions, by becoming an instrument for Krishna, especially in the Sankirtan movement, then one is actually free from this ichcha dvesha, attachment and aversion, and then one can actually do some good for others rather than be envious of people, that we can actually become their friends, their real friends. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? What's the official time here? Is that clock the official time? What time is it? I was wondering why reading the deities was early. Yes. Yes, I've realized everywhere you go, there's old age, disease, and death. And so many people are taking birth again who didn't realize that. And as far as ISKCON goes, well, I think last time I was here, I was in May. So since then, I attended so many festivals in Europe and Russia. Of course, you probably know there was one festival there were 12,000 devotees at, which is... What's that? I didn't bring it. Well, 12,000 devotees, you can look out, you see a lot of devotees chanting and dancing. It's hard not to hear the holy name when 12,000 devotees are chanting it. And then I had another small festival I went to right after that. There were only 4,500 devotees there. It's like when it's very cold, and then it gets a little warmer, then you feel like actually it's getting warm. So when you go to a festival with 12,000 devotees and then the next festival only has 4,500, you wonder where all the devotees go to. Should I have attended the small festival? And in Europe, we had many festivals. In my particular zone that I happen to be managing, we had like 3 Rath Yatras in a couple of months and 4 festivals, major festivals, and Europe is just like America also. There's so many festivals going on all the time. So that's mostly what, of course, just the regular routine work of, that's what we're really missing. To actually have festivals are one thing. Devotees like to hear about the festivals, but I think the result of the festival will be when the devotees go back and then they actually go back and they establish a routine work in their particular areas where they get up in the morning, attend the program either in their house or in the temple and do some preaching to spread Krishna consciousness. Not that they just go to festivals and enjoy life. Of course, that's joy, spiritual life. That's very nice also. But it should carry over to the everyday life also. But from here, after I left here, then I went, I was practically always in Europe the whole time, except for India. We went to the Mumbai, the GBC meetings there in Mumbai, and they had the strategic planning, which has been going on for some time now. And that was, we're gradually making some progress. Gradually. But as I said, that will be manifested in throughout the whole world when we hear that so many devotees are, we're going to have stable management. Stable management will mean stable preaching, which is growing in all areas of the world, not in just in some places in the world. So that may take some time. Yes. Yeah.
Isn't that what ISKCON is all about?
You should try selling them a book.
Well, isn't that, I mean...
If they take the book, they're probably not envious. But they say, well, what is this about? Is this about Krishna? And then you go, yes. And you go, well, I'm sorry. I'm a Christian. Or something like that. No, we have to... How to judge whether someone's envious? That will be judged in the course of time. That's why book distribution is so good. Because as we have experience, you can talk to someone for 3 hours, and at the end you ask them for donation of the book. They give you back the book and tell you that they're not interested in what you had to say. You just wasted 3 hours of your life talking to someone who wasn't interested. So how to say, we don't have an envy meter, but we judge if someone is interested in Krishna, interested in the absolute truth, to the degree that they're interested, to that degree they're not envious. Therefore, we have to test them to a certain extent, because most people are innocent, but they're ignorant. And because they're ignorant, they have very little interest in what we're doing or have to say. We may be speaking, but most people, when we're speaking, their minds are speaking to them, telling them how to interpret what we're saying, and just waiting for the opportunity when they can speak and say something important. Because most people consider what anyone else says is unimportant, is only important in as much as it helps them get their point across. Therefore, we shouldn't speak so much, actually. We should test people and see how much they're really interested. And then in proportion to that, we should actually tell them something about Krishna. Yes. Of course, if you're giving class, you have to fill up the time. Say as much about Krishna as you can. Maybe someone in the class will stay awake and listen. Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj. So speaking about book distribution, I was distributing books yesterday and came across like Indians that were giving me this look like you're giving out these books on the street.
American Indians or Indian Indians?
Indian Indians. Oh. And then Christians were giving me a hard time and Muslims were giving me a hard time. And many of them says, I already have the book, like Bhagavad Gita, even Americans said that. And very few people were interested, but, you know, mostly they didn't even want it if you were to give them free. Like one guy came back and asked me, is that free? I said, depends, you know, are you interested? He said, I'll probably throw it away anyways, and then just walked away.
Well, you should have said, I'll give you a dollar if you take it.
So all day standing in cold, and, you know, after you get in, so what should be your mood like?
She get angry.
Pretty much.
Curse everyone who comes by. You go and complain to Krishna. What did you do? Why did you waste my time? Oh, we have to pray. We have to pray to Krishna that we remain Krishna conscious in spite of the fact, success or failure, and that Krishna sends people. Generally, people, we have a hard time on book distribution because we don't pray enough to Krishna to send the right people. And because we don't pray, Krishna sends all kinds of people. So it enthuses us to pray, encourages us to pray, to send the right people. So we should just take that as a lesson that I'm not praying enough to Krishna, or if Krishna doesn't send anyone, still I should just try to make the exchange in such a way as it's pleasant for them, so that they think that at least the devotees are nice people, and they may become in the future a little attracted. But if we, you know, say, oh, you're the 90th rascal who didn't take a book, now you go to hell and never come back. That won't be very encouraging to them. They'll think, nor will it lead them to Krishna consciousness even in the future sometimes. But after all, we're servants. Everyone who comes by, we're serving them, that's all. How good a servant is we are, how much good a servant they think we are, may determine how many people take books from us also. So if they don't take books, they just have to pray that I can become a better servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and my spiritual master and Prabhupada, so I can become a better instrument to distribute these books.
Less and less,
I don't find people less and less interested. Sometimes we become less interested in giving the books to people. We haven't prepared the groundwork sufficiently. But definitely people are not less interested. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. I was just reflecting in this topic because since the time that I joined to till the present time, I always find that at least 3 or 4 or 5 people a day maybe are interested. But they're always, every day, I find 2, 3 or 5 people who are very interested. And the rest is just, you know.
Yeah, they're covered by illusion.
So I was just even thinking how to accommodate this. Then I made up my own thoughts by reading the Bhagavad Gita. And I was thinking, in the battle of Kurukshetra, even Krishna physically present there, it appears, you know, the Pandavas didn't win every day, externally, you know, from the material point of view, although we know that it's a win-win with Krishna. But still, from the material point of view, they did not win. There was, like, the other side was apparently winning, too. So then I thought, well, you know, if Krishna wants them to change, he can do it. So what is our position? Just go there and surrender and do the service, that's all.
Yeah. It's not that if you only bring one person back to Godhead, Krishna's going to complain. Why did you only bring one back? Krishna will be very happy even if we bring one back. Even if we ourselves go back, he'll be happy.
In this regard, I just if you allow me to, I would just say, sometimes devotees don't mention dreams, but I was battling like this too a long time ago, and in a dream, you know, I came to have the special mercy of Prabhupada. He says, how is book distribution? And I said, Prabhupada, there's a lot of nice people out there. We just have to go and find them. He said, acha, and he smiled. So I like that. So, like, you know, there is someone there's nice. And for that, people were going there. The rest,
yeah,
it's up to them.
I mean, you may star people on the path, and you may not even know it just by saying, you know, have a good day. You don't really know what the effect is. But we're so interested in taking credit for the effect that we worry about it all the time. How much credit did I get today? And the devotee's going to appreciate how wonderful I am. I'm a great Mahavrati. How can I go back without a great score? So many things. We're worried about everything else except for pleasing Krishna and helping his conditioned souls make some progress. All right, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.